ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD to the program. TD, good morning. How are we doing, man?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, I want to start with Femi Oladejo. Just your impressions of him to this point, both kind of off the field, the personality that he's got, and also what you think he can be on the field, how quickly you think he can make a legitimate impact for this team on the field.
Yeah, well, I tell you, first things first, that number 7 looks good on him. I like the switch. He looks really good with that. And he's a well-put-together athlete. But I think the thing that's pretty cool is just the energy that he brings. You see it. And it wasn't just like when the rookies were there. You saw it when the veterans, too. And that's what I was curious. Like, how is he going to be around guys like, you know, your Arden Keys, your Jalen Harrells, you know, the veterans. And it showed that he was still, you know, just the same old guy. So that was cool. There was a time where he got pressure on Cam Ward, and he kind of flushed him out the pocket, and he caused a rush throw. So that was good to see. How soon he has an impact, I think that's more going to depend on the way Denard Wilson uses him. And that's something I want to ask, just as far as, like, are you going to have him as a situational pass rusher, let him just pin his ears back and go get the passer, or are you going to have him having to think and read keys and do all those things? And play the run, you know, drop back in coverage and those types of things. And that's where it could make it a little bit longer of a process, because you're just having to do all that and think, and you can't just play naturally. And that's something I want to see, you know, how they go about. But he's clearly made an impact already, because when I mentioned his name, just mentioned his name to Denard Wilson, you saw the big smile on his face.
TD, I know we obviously make a big deal out of things that happen, you know, in the spring, and then totally forget about them once we get closer to actual football. But given all that's at stake, all that has gone on, how Brian Callahan is trying to do this, you know, leadership stuff, unless there's something, you know, that we don't know about that has taken him away, why, if you're Jeffrey Simmons, would you not be here right now?
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going. You know, here's the thing. I wonder what it is that's keeping him. I can't imagine it's something like major or big time event or anything like that, because Callahan would have said that, right? You know, you want to make sure you defend your players. Yeah. It just seems like Jeff, he has his routine, and he has stuff that he does in the off season, and to him, you know, the voluntary part is not a time for him to be here, but rest assured he'll be here when it goes to the next phase. And as Brian Callahan said, you know, there's no one that he has to worry about less to be ready than Jeffrey Simmons. But at the same time, optically, in this changeover where the leadership and the team building and the culture and all that is being focused on, it would be good for him to be here.
TD, what did you make of the way that Will Levis kind of handled things the other day, knowing that, you know, he was going to have to answer questions about all that at some point? Obviously, you were in the thick of it there. So what did you make of the way that Levis handled that?
I respect it a lot. And even, you know, when asked about going elsewhere, he's like, man, I have no control over that. And then asked about last year, he's like, you know, I had a lot thrown at me, and, you know, it sucked, but you know what? We learned from it. And I think that's really the right attitude. And then he went and he did the things that he and Brian Callahan and the staff, they felt was necessary to do as far as working on with Jordan Palmer. And he came back. I mean, he had some moments, you know, where it was like, okay, I could see there's some progression. But then again, you had the end of practice, and it's like the same old stuff. You know what I mean? The pick six. So it's going to be one of those things where you just want to see it work out and how it comes along.
So I thought it was interesting, TD, you know, Callahan the other day talking about, you know, J.C. Latham. I know Latham is going to be, as you know, he's going to be great in terms of being open and really revealing on stuff, and just the whole, you know, the weight thing, and how it maybe, you know, kind of tripped him up last year, and I know sometimes young players have to learn that. But first of all, does he look markedly different to you, and how much of a big deal do you think that was? How different do you think it could be? And of course, then you have the switch to the right side as well.
Yeah, well, he does look a lot different. His body is it's been refined. You know, he still looks big. Don't get it twisted. But, like, he's a better put-together athlete, leaner, I guess you could say. And, I mean, he said he got up to, you know, between 360 and 370 last year. And when you're that big, like, you can get away with being that big and slower, you know, at in college, right? But you know, you get to this league, man, you got guys coming off the edge. I mean, you got guys running 4.4s, 4.5s, you know, with 1.47, 10-yard splits. Like, these dudes, they get off the ball. You know what I mean? So you got to be able to get back in your drop and have the speed to handle that coming off the edge and stay in front of the guy. And that's something that he struggled to do, you know, towards the end. I mean, he mentioned the embarrassing game against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you know, and that was a wake-up call for him. And I think it's good that he was able to do that. You know, we talked about the diet. He cut his hair. He just had a complete makeover, it seems like. And flipping to the right side, you know, it's where he played before. In college at Alabama, he said he feels more natural there. He could play the left side, but he feels more natural on the right. So we'll see how that works.
TD, two-part question for you. What were your initial impressions of John Fossil, and how nice would it be to get like 6 or 7 weeks into the Titan season and to not really care all that much about what the special teams coordinator is going to say throughout the week?
You know what? Even 6 or 7 weeks into the season, I think with John Fossil, we're going to care what he says, man. Because that dude,
but maybe caring the right way this time, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be like, all right, let's hear what wild thing that he's going to say that we could tear apart. I think it's going to be, you know, the opposite of that. I was really impressed with him. I liked the conversation. Again, the energy, and he made some great points, you know, and he was very clear in the things that he wants, you know, in returners and just special teams overall. And he said, you know, I want guys to want to play special teams. Like, I want this to be something that they want to do. And I think that's a positive. And it is the third phase of the game that, you know, not all guys do want to do. So we'll see how that rubs off on the rest of the roster.
Are we talking like Kerry Coombs type of, you know, like, oh, you got to just watch this dude during practice. And, oh, he just had his 8th coffee. We talking that kind of energy?
Not that type of energy. You know, Kerry Coombs, you know, I was calling him the honey badger. he's different, you know, but it's still good energy, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun to watch. TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. You guys have a good one.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans. Rex Road's wardrobe continues to be under attack. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guest Manchester Orchestra and Paris Jackson at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, June 25th. Be caller 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Incubus coming up on Wednesday, June the 25th.
Dang, it's pissing me off. You know, apparently I looked like more like a total loser than I realized on TV the other day. Vingan says you wear a V-neck undershirt so the undershirt does not poke up another pole. This is, again, another argument that Katie and I have had for decades. I hate the V-necks. I hate how they feel. I just don't like them. I'm sorry. And then Vingan says you look like a dweeb on your beach date with Feinbaum.
Listen. I don't know that Adam Vingan is the right person to be giving fashion advice to. Vingan sometimes wears some shorts that are like up to his like high thigh. So I don't know that I'd be listening to Vingan.
That's
on that
the front. Thing, though, isn't it?
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
I don't
know
if it should be the thing.
It is a thing people do. I guess I'm going to have to go back and watch the
now
clip.
Vingan's going to come after me.
Did I look like that?
As we know, I'm a fashion guru out there.
Well, I like your shirt today. Golly,
yeah, I have a T-shirt and sweatpants on, so that's what I do.
Yeah, I just I'm gonna have to go back and watch the clip. I guess I didn't realize because Katie said something like, "Really? That's what you wore?" But that's, I mean, I'm used to that. Like, she always says that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I wasn't even,
I mean, I will
I wasn't
say,
even supposed to go on.
It did come up unprompted a few times on our text line the next
about
day.
The shirt?
Yeah, and on Twitter.
Dang it. Okay. Well, I just, I mean, I'm not changing.
I was about to say, you do you.
Yeah.
At this point.
Like, I know some people just have a huge issue with the undershirt that you can see under the polo. Like, I'm never changing.
Adam,
I'm going to die wearing that.
Vinya just texted me and said, wait until you see the shorts I'm wearing today. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Vingan's got a little, you know, fashion, his own little fashion sense.
Sure, yeah.
Just fine. I guess I haven't noticed. He wears like, you're telling me he wears like John Stockton 1985.
I'm just
NBA
saying,
shorts.
Sometimes they're a little high.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is a, you know, I miss the days of the real baggy shorts with all the pockets. Like, I just love that. I just put all the stuff in the pockets. No, that's not cool anymore. Well, I don't care. But then again, Katie buys my clothes, and I don't have them anymore.
The dad cargo shorts.
Ian, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the huge cargo shorts. Those are awesome.
Ian, what was your ruling on Rex Rudd's attire on the Paul Feinbaum show the other day with the polo and then the white T-shirt underneath?
Yeah, I used to do the white T-shirt and polo back in high school. so, yeah, that was probably that was late 90s.
I did, too. I did that in middle school, probably 2003, 2004-ish range.
Yep, so I retired that look, probably my senior picture, something like that, college, somewhere around there. Yeah.
I mean, Nick Frazier sent me the picture of Andy from The Office with the bloody nipples for after what doing the marathon or whatever. I'm sorry, man. Like, I have to have it. Dylan Aniak supports me, says, Joe, don't feel bad about not liking V-necks. V-necks suck. We aren't stuck in 2006 or something, LOL. Now, again, and I appreciate it, Dylan, but, I mean, I don't disagree with you guys. Like, the look of the T-shirt under is probably very
Friends.
Old man-ish. Yeah, I mean,
it's from Friends. Somebody in the Friends show would wear.
Yeah,
like it's like when I used to shop at Structure and buy some cool shirts at Structure in the mall.
I don't know what that is.
You know, see?
I used to have stuff from Structure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Had some sweet threads from Structure.
Oh, yeah. They used to have one in Cool Springs Galleria.
Really?
In the 90s. Okay. Oh, yeah. Late 90s. I was there. I've been there.
I'm about 3 years from like polyester bowling shirts and, you know, pants. I mean, I'm, you know, just look like one of those guys in the movie Cocoon.
Drew in Columbia says cargo shorts. That way you can have plenty of pockets for loose mitts. Just get you some cargo shorts. Did you offer Feinbaum a mint?
I did not, but that's a
hey,
great
Paul,
point.
I got something for you. Get a load of one of these.
You see, that's the thing. With cargo shorts, you can have a pocket only for the mints, and then if you keep it clean, why would anyone turn it down?
That's a good point.
Never keys in there, never a wallet, just pure pocket mints. Great point.
Chip from Mount Juliet says that he always goes with the T-shirt under the polo, says it's a much cleaner look, unsightly having a lift of chest hair showing.
Yeah. Yeah, he corrected himself. A tuft. That's a good word.
Oh, yeah.
Chest hair showing. And I'm very sporadic in that way anyway, but I agree. I don't like seeing that stuff. I don't want to see someone with their collar, you know, their stuff unbuttoned like it's a 1970s disco.
If you don't have the T-shirt underneath, then you put a couple of the buttons up and you just leave the one or two and you're good.
I think if Feinbaum's really going for, you know, to drive the ratings up over there, On the TV show, you know, next spring meetings, a Feinbaum Rex Rudd shirtless desk appearance on the beach in beach attire. That could be the way to do it.
Maybe I'll do tank top. Maybe. Okay. as long as I can run right. Yeah, probably not. As long as I can run right out to the ocean. I mean, maybe, you know, we can reconvene in Atlanta at the SEC meetings. I sure as hell hope not, but I mean, it's possible.
Are you going to have to go to that?
I don't want to air my, like, you know, laundry with my other job in public, but please, please don't make me go to SEC Media Days.
Remember when SEC Media Days came to Nashville a couple years ago and everybody was like, it's great, it's in Nashville this year. And we were like, oh, no, great, it's awesome.
Yeah, we had no
real
issues
great
with
experience
the show,
there, too.
Too.
Yeah, everything went well. Internet was working. It was great.
I did follow Joe Milton around for the day, though. So
you did.
That was fun.
You did. One texter says Glenn Ellerbe wears two shirts under a polo. So thank you, Brandon, for weighing in. Ellerbe, is there
shirt.
A show in America? I mean, I'm sure there's probably one in Knoxville where Glenn Ellerbe, the offensive line coach for Tennessee, catches more flack than on this one.
I would love to know if this does happen. Does this happen on Knoxville shows? Because Brandon did come on the YouTube chat and he said, We were talking about Barry Trotz changing. He said Heupel isn't going to change and fire Ellerbe. I don't know. Is he as much like a lightning rod on Homer Radio as he is here? I don't know. That's the thing, man. As we've discussed many times with Tennessee fans and fanish media, it's like everything's great, support. But when it's pretty clear that something's bad, oh my God, all of a sudden, you are the enemy of the state. So I don't know if Ellerbe has gotten to that point, but this is probably a big year for him, them, that part of the team, right?
Well, and also, you got a 5-star tackle coming in. You need him to be a player for you. It's high time they develop somebody, right? Recruit, retain, develop offensive line.
No question.
Haven't had a great track record of that.
No, it's been very bad. And it's fair to wonder for sure about him. And the thing is, it's probably going to be unrealistic expectations. I understand he's a big recruit, but go look at the track record of big recruits as true freshmen in college football. On the offensive line. There's probably going to be some bumps. And so then, we'll hear from Brandon even more.
We will. By the way, good point from TD on the Simmons front of, if it was something he's dealing with, probably would make sense for your head coach to, throw that out there. And maybe not even getting into the specifics of what the situation would be, but, there's something going on, and that's why he's not here.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, that's very true. Again, it's like, I brought up the Derrick Henry thing earlier, and Malarkey, Malarkey would basically say anything, but he was just like, I don't know why he's not here about Derrick Henry. And then again, we found out later that Henry was finishing up at Alabama, which again, that's great, but
call somebody.
Yeah, make a call. And as TD points out, if it was something else, then Callahan, I think, certainly would have gone out of his way to say something. There's no way Callahan is happy about this. There's no way.
I would not think so. Now, again, to your point, are we going to care about this in September? No. But it always feels like there's something with Jeffrey Simmons. And none of it's that bad, right? It's not like he's, overly problematic in there or anything like that. But it's just a lot of things that add up that make you always keep coming back, I think, to the same question with him, which is for somebody who – on the outside kind of appears to be the leader, the spokesman of the team. Is he really best served to do that?
No. The problem is who immediately steps – if Will Levis was good last year and he was going into his third year as a starting quarterback, then you start transitioning.
Well, yeah. Cam Ward's a rookie. Desperately needed to be Cam Ward here pretty soon.
He's a rookie, though. So, and also you still need on both sides of the ball someone like that.
Correct.
And it's going to happen. It's still him. Everybody's going to still go to him after every game. And he's still going to be one of the best players on the team. And he's still going to be forced into that role. So, this is a great year to kind of feel like fresh start. And I'm going to be there for everything. And I'm going to get to know everybody in the building and just try to be better. And so, if you're not there, you can't be. I do want to read Jackson here. He says, Joe, do you have pointy nipples that show through the polo if you don't wear an undershirt? Because if so, we are members of the same club. I don't know that I have especially pointy nipples. There's a drop.
There's going to get clipped.
I just laid it up. Here you go. I just set it up for you, Ian. Just grab that. But sometimes I definitely notice my nipples. Oh, crap.
There's another one. All right. We're just rolling it through today. Good stuff.
God. Thanks a lot. This is Jared's fault, ripping on my shirt.
Not the weirdest thing you've said on the show before. You've talked about marrying your cousin. So
I was the officiant.
Multiple times you've talked about marrying your cousin. So just had to draw back for some clarification there.
Keep it in the family.
615-737-1025. We got to get the weekend winners in a hurry. Please. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you now on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. The competition tightening up, pun intended, as we get down the stretch here. Rex wrote a standings update in the competition last week. Ian, the best week, 4-2 with his lock.
Uh-oh.
I went 3-3, no lock. Rex wrote 2-4, no lock. Got absolutely porked by the Chicago White Sox. They told you, hey, man, you keep picking us every week. They won two of the games, and then the game that they lost only by one. So your strategy of going -1.5 against the White Sox, 0-3 last week, Rex wrote. What do you feel? What do you think about that?
Well, I think I hate them even more.
I didn't think that
I'm
was
undeterred.
Possible. Didn't think it was possible. Which means the overall standings are as follows. Rex Road, 42-36, 8-5 on his locks, good for 50 points. Ian Safar, 42-36, combination of Nick Kieser and Ian Safar. Ian has done very well since taking over the competition. 7-6 on his locks, 49 points. One back of Rex Road. I am 41-37, 8-5 on my locks. Also 49 points. All three of us within 1 point of each other in the competition.
Wow. Here we go. It's good.
It's going to be very interesting down the stretch. We begin with the regionals. We'll start here in Nashville. Vanderbilt, the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. The question is simple. Will Vanderbilt win their regional? Joe, we begin with you. Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go yes. The pressure is on without question. It should be fascinating to see if they can continue the momentum, but I've got to like them at home against this field, and they're going to get a chance to get some revenge after losing the Battle of the Barrel
yes.
to Louisville.
Ian Safar, will Vanderbilt get out of their regional this weekend, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes, and I might as well. I think I'm just going to go ahead and lock it. But, yeah, I know that's risky in the College Baseball World Series to lock anything. Given the, you know, tournament bracket situation,
oh, yeah.
postseason, whatever. But I will lock Vandy down, yeah.
I will also go yes. I will not lock, but I will go yes. Vanderbilt gets out of their regional, which Vanderbilt fans, you might ought to feel nervous about what we just did there. Same question for Tennessee. Insofar, we begin with you. Will Tennessee win the Knoxville regional this weekend? Yes or no?
I will also go yes. Not as confident in this one, obviously, not going with the lock, but they're playing pretty well here down the stretch. I'll go yes.
I will go no. I think Wake Forest is coming out of that. I will go no for Tennessee winning the regional. Joe Rexroad, will Tennessee get out of their regional?
See, I like that. You know, if they break your heart, you at least you have a benefit here. You know, you
can maybe something to that.
You kind of play both sides. It's tough. I think Wake definitely has a chance to do this. Wake has some – I mean, I think Wake's going to enjoy playing that ballpark, just like, you know, they're the type of team that will enjoy playing that ballpark. But I got to go Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to advance. I think we're going to get Tennessee-Arkansas in, by far, to me, next week would be the most fascinating Super Regional.
Be a lot of fun. The Knicks and the Pacers coming up in Game 6. Knicks stay alive last night. Pacers going back home. They're a 3.5-point favorite in this matchup. I will start – I think it comes to an end for the Knicks. I think the Pacers win by about 6 or 7, so I'll go Pacers -3.5 in this matchup. Joe Rexroad, Pacers and Knicks in Game 6.
Yeah, the Knicks have been tremendous on the road, and they fought back, and sometimes you have a game like two nights ago, and or last night, game like last night, and that can flip things. But I have to go with the Pacers. I think at home, I think Halliburton's going to bounce back. And I think they'll cover.
Ian Safar, your beloved Knicks, 3.5-point dogs in Game 6 on the road. How are we feeling?
Yeah, it's just not enough points. You know, I don't know, 3.5. I'm going to take the Pacers.
Pacers yeah. sweep here on the program.
I'd like to be wrong on this one, but I don't. I'm going to go with the Pacers, -3.5.
Indy Ben would approve.
We move to the
Indy homerism.
Individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay. I haven't had great luck with these guys, but on the roll lately, unbeaten streak, the last game here of the month, tomorrow before they take a little bit of a break, give me Nashville SC to get the dub.
Going Nashville SC with a win, which has burned Ian a few times.
Yeah, I've been off on the wins and the draws. I've been kind of going back and forth. I haven't lost, which is great, but yeah. I can't. You know, the draw thing kind of messes everything up. I believe it's NYC this week.
I believe you're correct.
So, yeah, give me Nashville SC versus NYC.
Going with the win for Nashville SC. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
The Baltimore Orioles suck. I don't care. Give me the Orioles against the White Sox today. Now, here's my question. Am I plus one. Am I plus 1.5 with the White Sox at the Orioles?
I can research
that. I believe that is correct from what I saw earlier. I've closed the app.
You are? But, yep. Yes, the White Sox are plus 1.5.
Beautiful.
So you're going Orioles minus 1.5. That's against fine. The White Sox. There we go. My first individual selection, we will have one Stanley Cup final game in the books by the time we do weekend winners next week. So give me the Edmonton Oilers, game one, against the Florida Panthers in what I think is going to be an awesome Stanley Cup final. I'll take Edmonton in game one to win against the Panthers. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Okay, White Sox, Orioles. I'll go down with the ship. I don't care. I will go down with the ship. I still believe that in the end, it's going to work out in my favor. The odds are that the crappy doo-doo White Sox are going to lose enough to help me win this competition. And in Saturday's game,
I'm going well for you so far.
Well, I had a little surge, and then last week, bumped me off a little bit. I will do the same thing. I'll take the Orioles on Saturday.
Going with the Orioles minus 1.5 against the White Sox on Saturday. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
I'll bite and take Edmonton as well. I do think there's going to be some type of, revenge factor, game one, rematch of the cup final from last year. They're going to come out. I don't know if they'll win the series. I kind of think they will. But I do think they're going to come out ready in game one. So give me Edmonton to take game one as well.
Going back to Pacers-Knicks in game six coming up, the over-under is at 218. Give me the under. I'm going under. 218 for Pacers and Knicks coming up in game number six. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Sunday, White Sox, Orioles. Orioles lock! Sunday's my lock game. I feel good about it.
Okay.
Locking down on the Orioles.
Guaranteed.
On Sunday. Big Baltimore Orioles guy, Joe Rexroad out there. The Red Sox plus 1.5 against the Braves today and make it my lock. I'm locking down. I don't even care if they win. Plus the 1.5 against the Braves. I will take it, and I will lock down on it. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
All right, well, we have to pick on our boys. The Mets are playing the Rockies.
Yes.
And I will take the Mets minus 1.5 tonight.
Going Mets minus 1.5 against the Rockies. Of course, I took the Yankees minus 1.5 against the Rockies last week, as did Ian. I locked down on it, and the New York freaking Yankees lost to Colorado last Friday.
So you've jumped off the bet against Colorado train.
I'm just not going to do it every week.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Well, some of us are consistent.
Well.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. There's no doubt about that. I would assume that the Colorado Rockies will get back to their losing ways. Now, granted, they did lose the next two games to the Yankees. They just happened to not lose when I needed them to, which is, frankly, typically how this competition goes.
Sorry, we've got more text coming in on the nipples. It's really a problem.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Colorado now 9-47 on the season, which is a
goodness
161 win percentage. You know what their run difference? Let's go through the second worst run differential in the league right now belongs to the Athletics at minus 101, which is an incredible number, by the way.
That's a big number.
Just take a stab at what Colorado's is right now.
172.
You're very close. It's minus 175.
Wow. That is a bad.
That is a 74 run difference between 1 and 2 right there, by the
good
way.
Good Lord. Bad news bears, man.
It is incredible. How bad they are. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Final thoughts on the regional matchups for Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Coming up next, we'll take your thoughts heading into the weekend as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, I do have to give a shout out to Busy Bee. They sponsored a hole yesterday at our golf tournament, and you know whether it's like somebody has food out there, some other holes have like, hey, if you hit a hole in one here, you can win an ATV. There was a nice display from Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. It was just a toilet sitting on the tee box where people could take pictures on. It was awesome.
I like it. I'd like to give a shout out to DJ Burnside for his latest illustration with me, you, and Big Joe in the victory poster.
Yes, yes. At Dennis J. Burnside on X. Have you transitioned to just calling it X now?
Kind of. I kind of hate it, but it's I mean, I hate it anyway, so but I still say tweet. I like,
yeah,
you know, you can call it X, but I'm not going to say posted on X. No.
You tweeted.
You're tweeting. You can still say tweeted. I mean, you can say whatever you want. You can call it an absolute dystopian hellscape if you like, and you're not too far away.
Big vocabulary words there from Rex Road.
Thank you.
Joe, you will be covering the Vanderbilt series. I keep calling it a series. It's not a series. A regional this weekend, and we'll see how that goes beginning tonight in game one for Vanderbilt at 5 o'clock or right around 5 o'clock if they can win tonight. We'll see. It'll likely be Louisville, but we'll see. As we were instructed earlier on the text line, we will not underestimate ETSU on this program, so keep that in mind tonight.
But that's right.
Your thoughts on Vanderbilt heading into the regional here, the pressure surrounding being the number one overall seed, and what Vanderbilt has to prove here, not getting out of the regional round since 2021.
Yeah, you set that tone with that first game. It's so huge. Get the first game. And again, this is why I think Tim Corbin's always been consistent. Tony Vitello's doing it with Liam Doyle. You know, it's so important to get into the winner's bracket right away and not get into that. You know, now you gotta play early tomorrow, and you know you're one loss away from your season being over. The pressure triples immediately, and that's why it's like setting that tone. You win the game tonight if you're Vanderbilt. You get to the 8 p.m. game tomorrow night. And, of course, it's possible if you win both of those that you could then punch your ticket to the Super by winning at 8 p.m. Sunday night. You don't want to get in the – now, Vanderbilt has the pitching depth to be able to handle it if they do get there. But you don't want to have to use it, and you just don't want that pressure. And I think that today is just a huge game to set the tone. Kind of, okay, all this great baseball we've been playing, some of the best defensive baseball in the country – timely hitting, getting a little more power. The freshmen are going. A lot of pitch, you know, just keep doing the same thing and you're going to be fine. But it's hard. It's hard psychologically to just keep doing the same thing. I understand that the SEC tournament is the postseason, but it's not this. And obviously it's not the regular season. So I think tonight's just a huge start to try to set a tone and kind of just see if they can just continue doing what they're doing. Consistent, excellent baseball.
Have you watched film on each individual player of Wright State? Are you prepared for that tonight?
Yeah. Yes, I will have a breakdown on X later.
Good.
With sort of, I've got some advanced stats to go along with the OPS and everything
That's good.
I think people will really enjoy. It's interesting. It's interesting stuff.
JBS, is that your stat?
JBS?
Yeah. Joe's BS, is that the stat you come up with?
I like that. The JBS quotient. Yeah. Speaking of my BS.
Very important stat in baseball.
Yeah, I like that.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you. Well, speaking of that, I'm watching now. I haven't watched the clip of this, you know, me with Feinbaum. I look fine. I think it's a nice thing with, like, yeah, it's like a dark shirt, nice contrast with the undershirt. Vingan's in there. No, I don't care.
He's giving us the thumbs down.
I'm not changing, and it has nothing to do with my nipples. Okay, I just gave you three today.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
You can milk anything with nipples. I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
I bet it's been more than three.
Yeah, but just specific nipple drops, you know? We have three specific nipple drops. There's four.
Your thoughts on Tennessee in the regional? I do not have them winning coming out of it. I think Wake Forest is going to come out. What do you make of the regional, which typically if it's been in Knoxville, you look at it and you say, well, Tennessee's going to be in good shape if that thing's in Knoxville. It has not gone overly well for them in Knoxville recently. So let's see how that translates to postseason baseball. But a very interesting team in Tennessee that did not end the season overly well. Got a little bit better in the SEC tournament before they got crushed by Vanderbilt. But also, when you look around in terms of recruiting rankings and all the other stuff, still one of the most talented teams in all of college baseball.
Absolutely. I mean, Liam Doyle's going high in the draft, and they got some other guys. Fisher, you know, I mean, Marcus Phillips is absolutely, you know, at least a second-round pick. So, no, they've got guys, and then you got guys like Hunter Ensley who have been there. I mean, look, the defense is – it's just been a problem for them, not just with base running, you know, stealing, but also just defense in general. At this today, you know, talking about setting the tone and all that stuff, I mean, Liam Doyle. Is he going to be Liam Doyle of most of the season? He's kind of had a rough patch here. Got to get over that. Come out, dominate a team, and then, again, it's the same thing. If they do that and keep the staff nice and, you know, rested and everything, can go to the winner's bracket day two, I really like their chances. Liam Doyle is a key, man. Today, tonight. So both of these teams, huge games.
Yep, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to watch. Like you said, if Tennessee does get through their regional and Arkansas does, which, by the way, I mean, Arkansas should. They're a heavy favorite, too. I think they might be, by the odds, the highest favorite to get through their regional. They have been known to not necessarily come through in the postseason the last 2 years.
No, it's been – I mean, they had clearly the best team a couple of years. No, they've had a terrible run of that, so – pressure is massive on them.
But how awesome could that be of a super regional between Tennessee and Arkansas and Fayetteville?
Man. And again, you could argue that that would be the two most talented teams in the field playing each other just to get to Omaha. Yeah. So it's kind of a raw deal for both of them too, but it would be great. And real quick, you know, on this, I should have brought this up at some point earlier, but, you know, Tim Corbin, like the whole idea that he's changed, he hasn't changed that much. Yes, they've gone a little bit more to the portal. But they've had to go to the portal. I think they've raised more money and all that stuff. I think Tim has sort of gradually embraced what you have to do. But they're still going to be based on high school recruiting and on all the things he does to develop players and people. Now, that's not changing at all.
No, that will not change. And going back to the Arkansas thing real quick, as Tim Corbin told us on the show a few years ago, it's a different place up there.
Yes. Yes, it is.
We could see it.
Woo pig.
Have fun watching the regionals this weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning to break it all down. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Oh, God. My nipples. It's starting.